What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 205 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight, coming to you live Thursday evening. We're going to be talking about the Vanguard weapons. We have, I think, five of them that we're going to be going over. A couple heavies, a couple primaries, all the fun stuff. But first, let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I have to say it feels good to be recording at our usual time. Our usual place, everything just kind of getting back to normal after what has been a, I guess, a kind of a wild march, kind of a wild entry into the spring of 2021. We're in the future now, and things have been crazy, but feels good to try to get back to normal. How about you?
It does. It is nice to record on a Thursday evening. I was thinking about that when we were sitting down, and I was like, how weird is it that we're recording at the normal time when we're supposed to, and not like a Sunday morning or like a Monday or whenever the other weird times where it felt like we recorded all March. But
yeah, pretty much the whole month. It was like Wednesday at 11:17 a.m. Here we are. Yeah. Back to the usual. It feels great.
And you know what that means is that probably at some point in the near future, we are doing another Star Wars podcast, rebranded Beneath Twin Suns, obviously. Still got to figure out how I'm gonna fit that into the Massive Breakdown podcast. But we just figured, you know, the IRL cast has been Star Wars for 7 of the last 8 episodes. We might as well make it official.
Well, you know, I've finished the Clone Wars, and my daughter and I are now watching Rebels.
Did you finish the Clone Wars?
Which is much better than I expected it to be.
Oh my god. See, so I know that we're supposed to do Empire Strikes Back next. But I feel like because you just finished the Clone Wars, we very much need to talk about Clone Wars. Because I would actually drop this episode right now and just talk about Clone Wars for the duration of the next hour. Because of how much I love Clone Wars. And I'm glad that you're finding Rebels to be pretty decent. Because Rebels gets such a bad rap. And really, it's actually a very good show.
It is. I don't know that. I mean, it's clearly targeted at a slightly younger audience than the Clone Wars was.
Yep.
But it's helped by the fact that I literally just finished watching the Clone Wars, and so just going straight into watching Rebels after that, like the animation is basically the same. And so it just, you know, it's a lot of the same people behind the storytelling. So it was a very smooth transition for me. It's kind of what feels like a big jump in time frame, but it's actually not, right? It's actually just a little bit later. And it's just like, you know, watching the Empire rise and then, okay, the Empire is risen and here's Rebels. It sort of works out. It's kind of bridging a lot of the stuff going on behind the scenes. And I'm really, really enjoying that right now. I've been watching a lot of movies lately, and so this is kind of nice to get the behind the scenes of the Star Wars movies. All the little stuff and the little people who were doing things that were important that, you know, but they weren't Skywalkers, and so we didn't hear about them.
What I think is so impressive about Rebels is the fact that all of those characters are original characters. Like, all of the main characters are original characters. None of those characters are from any other Star Wars media. And the fact that Filoni and his team are able to make you care about those characters, and by the end of the series, like, really care about those characters, is amazing to me. Because Clone Wars obviously had the benefit of taking a majority of characters from the movies, yeah, and then fleshing out characters around them. But everybody in Rebels is brand new. Brand spanking new. They were created for Rebels. I will say Rebels definitely was aimed at a younger audience, but it functions really, really well as a sequel to Clone Wars. Yeah. But I think why it got such a bad rap is because Clone Wars got canceled kind of unceremoniously, and then Disney immediately replaced it with Rebels. And I think people didn't take kindly to that, so they shit on Rebels. But now that Clone Wars has kind of come to its natural conclusion, or at least, you know, what is ever going to be its conclusion, Rebels is looked upon a little bit more fondly. But I will say, how far are you through Rebels right now?
Oh, just a few episodes in. I think we're maybe on episode 5 at this point.
Okay, so the childish theme tapers off over the second season. And by the end of the second season, it is much more on par with Clone Wars in terms of thematically how serious it gets in certain episodes. Not every episode. There were like filler jokey episodes, which Clone Wars didn't have as many of. But Rebels has three arcs, which I believe are potentially three of the best arcs in all of Star Wars. It's Twilight of the Apprentice, Twin Sons, and Jedi Knight are three of what I think are some of the best story arcs in all of Star Wars. They're incredible, incredible, incredible. And I think it's one is the end of the second season and two are in the fourth season. And wow, they're just really super fantastic. So you have a lot to look forward to with Rebels.
I do. I look forward to it. The finale to Clone Wars. Wow.
Yeah, the Siege of Mandalore arc is phenomenal, isn't it?
So dude, good.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? We can't do this.
No, we can't get into this right now.
I promise you guys that the Beneath Twin Suns episode for this month is, we're skipping Empire Strikes Back. We're not skipping. We'll come back to it. It's got to be Clone Wars, though. We got to talk Clone Wars.
So there's a little teaser of what you'll get on Beneath Twin Suns. If Star Wars is your jam, or even if it's not, but you like listening to other people talk about it, or you just like listening to us ramble on tangents for an hour, that's what you'll get. That's literally what the IRL, the Beneath Twin Suns cast is all about.
And,
so,
and honestly, I'm super proud of the like minimalist art that I made for it too. I don't know. Can we change art like per thing that we upload? We can, can't we? On SoundCloud, it doesn't have to be the same art for everything, right?
Yeah. For the tracks, you can put up, track art on there.
Oh, cool. Well, we'll have to do that then. We can use those track art because it's got to be a square, I think. So I'll have to figure out how to do that. But
yeah, for a while I was putting up thematic ones, and then I was just like, this is a lot of work to find a thematically appropriate image every time.
No, we don't need to do that.
And so
I appreciate the effort that you put into. Yeah. So, all right, guys. Well, we do have some to talk about, and I'm actually kind of worried because I was pointing out to Kutch, though, we've been spending approximately like 15 to 20 minutes per weapon on these weapon breakdowns that we've been doing, and we do not have the time to do that tonight if we want to keep it around an hour. So let's go ahead and blast through the housekeeping. We've got a wonderful review that was left for us on Twitter this time. Remember, I have told you guys before that if you cannot leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, you are welcome to leave us a review however you feel comfortable leaving us a review. Some people have sent it to us on Discord, some people have said it on Reddit, some people have posted on Twitter, and Brian actually sent it to us on Twitter. Is that here's my review of Destiny Master Breakdown Podcast, 5 stars. These Guardians know their stuff and offer some of the most insightful and entertaining breakdowns of Destiny weapons and content. 10 out of 10 would recommend to any fan of the game. Thank you very much, Brian. I told you I was going to give you a shout out, and I did. And remember, you guys, we love reviews on Apple Podcasts, but if you can't, for any reason, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, you're welcome to leave us a review anywhere that is public, anywhere that you'd like to share it with us, and we will still read it out because that's how much we care. And I believe we have our standard patron thanks to do as well.
Yeah, speaking of shout-outs, let's throw some massive shout-outs and thank yous to ZenSoCal and The Shazzle for their ongoing sponsorship of the podcast. If you are a fan, a listener, a Discordian, if you ever see these Guardians online, please show them some thanks. Show them some kindness. They go above and beyond to help support the expenses that do go in to keeping this podcast available in perpetuity, which is the goal, at the very least, for the duration of Destiny being a video game, which seems to, I mean, the game's got legs, right? Let's admit it here. We're what, 8 years into the game at this point?
Seven years in with at least another 3 planned.
Yeah.
So
So it's definitely looking forward, and these Guardians help make sure that we are ad-free and remain the public radio of Destiny podcasts as we like to be.
Listeners like you, right? Like that is really what it is. We're PBS. Yeah, because we don't have any corporate sponsors because all we have is you guys sponsoring us. Which, by the way, you said Destiny is 7 years old. We've done an episode in 5 different years. Actually, maybe now 6 different years. I need to look that up. But it is incredible, actually, how long we've been doing this.
I'd like to get that as a medal in my Steam profile. That would be excellent. Has released a podcast episode in 5 separate years.
We did
one, add that two, to my three, triumphs, four, please. Five,
six. Yeah, we have released an episode in 6 different years. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21.
That should be a triumph.
Yeah. 6 or 7? Yeah. I mean, we might be... No, we're not, because DCP is still around. And Fire Team Chat is still around. I was going to say, we might be one of the oldest Destiny podcasts out there at this point in time.
Aren't we older than DCP? I thought they started after us.
Well, DCP was technically Planet Destiny.
Oh, that's right.
It was all the same people, and then they migrated over.
They kind of...
Yeah.
It's kind of a rebranding sort of situation.
And I think Destiny Reset is... Are they done? They're not doing episodes anymore, are they? Or is my podcast tracker app just not updating?
Oh, I thought they had taken a break.
I thought they had too. So, I mean, it's conceivable that we could be the third longest running Destiny podcast out there.
I'll take it.
Someone who has knowledge of Destiny podcasts is more than me. Please look that up and let us know if we are in fact the third longest running Destiny podcast out there.
I'll take it. As always, thank you to all of our ongoing patrons for your continued support of the podcast. We very much appreciate it. Thank you to our listeners, our Discordians.
Hey, we got voice chat in the Discord now.
Yeah, voice chat.
By user request.
By popular demand, as I like to put it. We have returned voice chat from whence it was exiled. And so feel free to set up fire teams in the Discord now. You can jump in and just use the chat right there. There you go. That's it. That's all the news that's fit to print. Let's talk about some guns.
Although I guess technically we would be remiss if we did not mention that Bottomless Grief and Celerity, the two, I don't even know how to describe these perks. Yeah, the adept perks. So they basically have listened to the feedback that people did not find that these perks were tremendously useful because their triggers were so rarely utilized in anything outside of pretty much Nightfalls and Trials, which granted is where they come from, right? So it kind of makes sense. But they said that nobody likes a perk that basically activates on like a fail state, right? Like your fire team has failed. You are in danger of failing. Nobody really likes a perk that does that. And so even though the bonuses were quite significant, and especially in Celerity's case, plus 100 to aim assist, handling, and reload, plus reduced recoil and spread, it's just the uptime was too low and the benefit just wasn't there. So what they've done is they've gone through, and they did clarify the reason why they can't put them as an intrinsic on weapons. And they said, number one, that causes really bad power creep. And number two, they actually have perk limits on weapons for some reason. And you can only, I guess, have four perks on a weapon, which, you know, I guess what that means is that the weapons that had five perks in D1 were treated as exotics because exotics can have five perks because, you know, but they said regardless, the cap for legendaries is four perks. So they're not going to put it as an intrinsic because it will break stuff. But what they are going to do is they're going to give them some static bonuses that basically are always active. So Bottomless Grief is going to do a plus 30 to the mag, which isn't actually 30 rounds in the mag. It's just a plus 30 on that, you know, inventory size, which is going to mean you have more in the magazine. It's kind of going to function like extended mag, I think. But maybe, I mean, extended mag is, what's the actual stat for extended mag? Is it plus 40? And then appended mag is plus 20?
So, you know, I'm actually not sure what the actual stat.
Extended mag is plus 30. So it is going to be extended mag, but without the huge penalty to reload speed. And on top of that, when you're the last living member, your fire team kills will reload your weapon. So that now becomes, I feel like, a pretty useful perk, especially in PvE.
Yeah, I think that's a very strong option to have for PvE. And then, of course, Celerity now permanently active plus 20 to reload and handling. And it will become a fixed alternate perk in the right column on adept drops of trial weapons. So that is, that's pretty dope.
I mean, for comparison, Flared Magwell only gives like plus 13 to reload. So that's quite a bit. And, you know, something like people talk about fluted barrel being a great barrel perk for handling, and that's also only plus 13. Yeah. So, you know, that's better than the best, you know, reload perk in your mag and the best handling perk in your barrel on one perk, plus all the bonuses that you get. So in my opinion, those have both now become, and honestly, I was talking about this earlier, I actually liked Celerity before. I understood why people didn't like it, especially like better players. But for me, who quite often found myself in that situation, especially when I wasn't playing with Van Holden and Tank, who are incredibly dominant and can pretty much carry anyone to flawless. But when I was playing with more normal people, I quite often found myself in that situation. I actually found Celerity to be an okay perk. I understood why people didn't like it, so I mostly just kept my mouth shut because I did think it would be nice if it got a buff. And now that it has, I actually think it's a good perk now.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a strong option to have. A clarification on the way this is going to work. The way that the perks work will affect every gun that currently has the perk. So if you've already got an adept weapon with Celerity or with Bottomless Grief, the perks function will update to this new function when this goes into effect. However, you will not have the perk as a selectable alternate on your already dropped weapon. In order to get it as a as an alternate in addition to a randomly rolled perk, you will have to grind it out again next season. So only new drops will have both this and your randomly rolled perk in that slot as two alternate options. But every gun with the perk gets the benefit. Hope that makes sense.
You know what I just realized about why I bet they're hitting the perk limit? Because I bet the frame counts as a perk.
Yeah, I bet.
And I bet that's the fifth perk, and I bet that's why they can't put another one on it.
Well, and so they mention it's for performance reasons. They have a maximum number of perks that can run on a character at a time. And so they're counting in probably all of your super subclass perks, and then all of your weapon perks, all of your armor perks, probably all of your mods, all of your, you know, ghost effects. Maybe even the clan banner could be counted in that.
Oh, jeez.
For all that we care a whole lot about those perks.
Game development is hard, folks.
It is a very hard thing. That's why we only talk about it and don't do it. So in fairness, that's a whole lot of effects on every single character running around. For the game engine to handle smoothly without, you know, bad things happening. So if they say adding an extra one without taking anything away may result in bad things happening, I'm okay with that statement. I'm going to believe that and let it go.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess now that we've got those out of the way, and it's a good thing we did, because those perks, or at least one of those perks, is going to show up on the weapons tonight.
Yeah.
We can start talking about the guns. And you know what? I don't feel that we need to, or do we? Haven't we been saving the best for last? Because then that forces people to listen to the guns that nobody cares about instead of checking out early.
We have.
Okay. All right. So we're going to save.
It's cruel, but we have.
Yeah. We'll save the palindrome for last. I guess let's start at not quite the bottom, because I actually think these guns are okay for what they are. But I guess let's start with the Swarm, if you're okay with that.
Yeah. I've got it pulled up.
Oh boy, the Swarm. It is a machine gun. When was the last time you saw machine guns, and I feel like anything, in Destiny? I can't remember the last time. Outside of, was it Xenophage? Outside of Xenophage, I don't remember the last time I saw a machine gun.
So I remembered about Thunderlord about 2 months ago, and I pulled it out, and it still feels good. But I wanted to use other exotics, so then I put it away again.
Yeah. My issue has been that, obviously, as a PvP player, for the most part, you just get shit all for ammo when you pick up a heavy brick with a machine gun in PvP. It's like, it feels like it's basically useless. And then in PvE, correct me if I'm wrong, but do they do very much damage to bosses in PvE? Because I haven't seen a reason to use one of them for DPS in what feels like an eternity.
I mean, they're not optimal at this point in time. they're functional. Like, you know, if you want basically what a machine gun is it's a very, I think it's a very effective generalist weapon. If you need a weapon that's going to have a lot of ammo that you can use against literally any type of enemy, if you need a weapon to get a third, you know, type of damage out, and you need to be able to use it frequently, machine gun's your go-to. You know, because if you pick the right one, you're going to have just buttloads of ammo. They're going to do a pretty darn good amount of damage against anything that's not a boss. And you can just hold the trigger down and empty the mag into the boss, and it will eventually kill them. Might take a while. You know, it's not the most efficient way to get there, but it'll get it done. So, for me, that's the way I view them at this point in time, is they're kind of the catch-all. I don't need to be efficient. I just need a third type of damage gun.
Yeah. Or in Thunderlord's case, you just want to rain lightning down on people and cause people to explode. And
Thunderlord just feels good. The problem that machine guns have, though, is that you don't really need a generalist weapon like that, because there are so many good exotics out there and so many good guns that you're actually much better off specializing every weapon category. And so that's what people do. So
yeah. Well, let's talk about the stats for the Swarm. It is an ARC high impact heavy machine gun. The optimal TTK in PvP is half a second, 0.50 seconds, but it takes 4 crits to get that. The body shot TTK is 0.83 seconds with 6 body shots. Yeah, I mean, stats-wise, you know, there's just not a ton of there's not a ton of machine guns. There's especially not a ton of machine guns that you can still use right now. So there's not really a lot to compare it against. You know, it's got 72 range, which is the best out of all machine guns in our Xenophage. It's got 40 stability, which is actually very good for a high impact. For comparison, you know, Bane of Sorrow was 29. And fixed odds from the Menagerie was 35. Reload speed is also pretty decent for a high impact at 44. The low end of the high impacts is 37. Handling is okay at 42. Bane of Sorrow is a little higher at 45, but you could do worse. The aim assist is 39. Again, the highest of the high impacts. I mean, pretty universally across the board, it's the best of the high impacts in almost everything. Same thing with recoil direction is 79, which is very manageable. Inventory is 49, which is the highest, and then the mag size is 47, which is the highest. So, you know, out of all the high impact machine guns, it is quite clearly the best high impact machine gun, I believe. The problem is that it's a high impact machine gun, and those are probably seeing, you know, I mean, if we had to break out every weapon by archetypes, I believe that these are probably one of the least used guns in the game.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. Adaptives for me have just always been the way to go. They seem to basically have the best of both worlds in terms of, you know, a noticeably better rate of fire, good overall stats, lots of ammo in the mag. And that's the real downside of these high impacts, is that, you know, 47 shots in the mag is the best for the high impacts, but every adaptive is going to have close to 60. Right. And that's, you know, that makes a difference. Makes a difference in your total damage you can put out and the total number of adds you can take down. And the high impacts, unfortunately, don't do that much more damage than the adaptives. If they did more damage, then they would be worth it. But it's, you know, it's just looking at, like, say, crit damage. It's 48 for the high impacts, 41 for the adaptives, 24 for the rapid fires. So the rapid fires really drop down a lot. They do shoot twice as fast as the adaptives, and I don't know, 2.5 times as fast as the high impacts. So I understand why they jump down so much. But for me, if you're looking at a high impact versus an adaptive, I would always choose an adaptive.
I mean, the adaptives have always been the best to me. Commemoration's good now. Hammerhead, obviously, was the original, and Commemoration is pretty much the closest we're going to get to that. Obviously, Avalanche from the Dawning is quite shit, and A Fine Memorial was like also pretty trash.
Unfortunately, I worked hard to get it, but it was just not worth it.
Yeah, but Hammerhead was just a whole other level of incredibly, incredibly good. And I really wish that we could get some of those Black Armory guns back, because, man, some of those Black Armory guns are just freaking fantastic. But Ada One's coming back. She's just not bringing any guns for us.
Yep.
She's bringing mods, and she's bringing transmog, but no guns. Anyways, on to perks. So the Swarm for barrels and for mags and PvP, and I'm very hard-pressed too. So I have a role for this gun that I would like to use in PvP, but I just can't justify using it because of how little ammunition you get when you pick up a brick. It never really feels like it's worth it to me. You know, considering it's not an insta-kill like some other heavy weapons, mostly rocket launchers, which is what I pretty much use in PvP, but even grenade launchers. You know, you don't really need recoil direction. You don't really need range unless you're trying to do a baby xenophage, right? Like, and people can do that, especially in Gambit. People do baby xenophage, and they'll max out range, and they'll basically use it like a scout rifle that, you know, kills you relatively quickly for a scout rifle.
Yeah.
I personally don't like doing that because xenophage, right? Like, I'll just use that if I want to. So I personally don't like doing it that way. I don't feel that handling serves any purpose. I don't feel that, you know, range or recoil direction do. So for me, it's only stability, right? So I'm just going polygonal rifling in the barrel slot, in the mag slot. You know, if this were PvE, I would do reload speed, or, you know, tactical mag or flared mag, well, hands down, or even a pinned mag. Just try to bump the reload speed of the mag size up, because that's really the only thing I care about. For PvP, I guess I'm just gonna have to go steady rounds. You know, give myself a little bit even more. And the thing is like, even stability doesn't do a ton, because the rate of fire is slow enough to where it's kind of controllable even without great stability. But I still find that against Guardians, it's just better to have stability than not have it. You know, in the first trade slot, well, geez, I would not have been recommending Bottomless Grief before, but now I feel like for PvE, at least, Bottomless Grief is easily the best option.
Yeah, so that change to Bottomless Grief basically, like, completely undoes my main criticism of these weapons, which is that their mag sizes are just not big enough to justify using them. I mean, that's going to be a lot of extra ammo.
Yeah, a ton. It's going to be 14 shots in the magazine. If it's the same as extended mag,
yeah,
which is plus 30, it'll be 14 shots in the mag. So, I mean, for PvE, that's got to be... You know, imagine pairing that with extended mag and getting 75 shots in the magazine of a high impact. Like, now all of a sudden, maybe it is good for boss DPS, because you're basically just not reloading.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially if you pair it with something like Vorpal Weapon and then a boss spec on top of that, like, or imagine pairing it with backup mag as well, which that you would have, I think, 85 shots. No, you would have 88 shots in the magazine if you paired it with backup mag, extended mag, Bottomless Grief, like almost doubling the size of the magazine, right?
Yeah. See, that would be worth having.
Yeah.
And so next season, this just might be something worth chasing for PvE specifically, because of the ridiculous amount of ammo. And then they actually worked out the perks so you can get a ridiculous amount of ammo and also have Vorpal Weapon. Add on that nice, tasty 15% damage buff to bosses. And mini bosses, I believe, also count. So, definitely going to be a very handy weapon. Or at the very least, it's got the potential, right? Where few machine guns have gone before. It's going to have the best damage you can get on machine gun, boatloads of ammo, a damage buff. What else can we say?
Yeah, I mean, for PvE, that's going to be the role right there, is either appended, tactical, or extended mag, Bottomless Grief, Vorpal, backup mag, and then just go ham on a boss and basically fire, because at 360 rounds per minute, I mean, and you have 80-something rounds, right? Like, you're going to be sitting there for, you know, a solid chunk of time just holding down. Like, you could go the majority of a DPS phase without reloading, just firing that one magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's a fantastic role for PvE. I'm actually excited about it now because of that change to Bottomless Grief, whereas I was not before. For PvP, still not really excited about it. There's only really... So I already said Polygonal Rifling, Steady Rounds. The only two perks I would really look for in the first trait slot are Dynamic Sway Reduction or Killing Wind. Dynamic Sway Reduction kind of has a problem because I'm not generally holding down the trigger long enough to where it just activates in like the last couple of shots, and then it's almost a waste. And then Killing Wind, I actually like Killing Wind a decent amount, so I'd probably have to prioritize that.
I think Surplus would be actually my go-to here. That's one time when I don't necessarily spam my abilities as much as is when I'm running heavy. Typically, and then I'm relying on the heavy to get the kill.
Yeah, that's a good call, sir. That is a good call, and Surplus does give you handling, reload speed, and stability for each fully charged ability that you have. So in case you are sitting on your abilities when you get heavy, then Surplus would, in fact, be a great perk. In the last trait slot for PvP, there's really only one option, and it's Tap the Trigger. I will say that Tap the Trigger pairs pretty well with Dynamic Sway Reduction because they kind of activate at different times. So Tap the Trigger activates and then drops off, and Dynamic Sway Reduction comes in, so you can kind of get that bonus accuracy the whole time. So I wouldn't mind pairing those two together. So, but, you know, again, the biggest problem I have with machine guns and PvP is that when I run a machine gun, I'll actually run machine gun scavengers, and I will purposefully not pick up heavy ammo and try to hunt the person down who got heavy ammo and then pick it up, because that way I will actually get a substantial amount of ammo. Any other way, if you pick up the brick, you're basically getting like maybe two kills worth. And because it's not an instant kill gun, right, it's almost like not even worth... Because with a rocket launcher, you just get one kill and you're done, but it's an instant kill. With a grenade launcher, you get maybe two or three kills, but they're pretty quick kills. With a machine gun, like, you're engaging people, and yes, it's a half-second TTK, but you're engaging someone,
yeah.
And that's an opportunity for you to die. And, you know, if it had gave you enough for, like, five or six kills, then maybe that's worth the risk. But if it's two or three kills, that's kind of almost not worth the risk in anything outside of, like, Iron Banner or Control.
I mean, I feel like there's got to be a sweet spot around maybe 3 to 4, because you like what you don't want to see is just everybody maining machine guns and people going on streaks with machine guns where they just never run out of ammo because they keep stealing it. That would... Excuse me. Because that would just be, I mean, really annoying, basically. And one thing the PvP sandbox does not need at this point is more annoying weapons. But yeah, it does feels pretty stingy, especially given that you do get a lot more when you steal it. Although I guess stealing it is harder, so there's a little risk reward going on there. But anyway, we've spent enough time on the swarm. Let's not spend 20 minutes on it and move on to Royal Entry.
I feel like we should be able to do Royal Entry pretty quick. So Royal Entry is a rocket launcher. It is the precision archetype. It is void. Precision means it shoots tiny little tracking rockets. 15 rate of fire, not that that matters as a rocket launcher. Blast radius is pretty low at 65, but typical for all precisions have 65. The velocity is also not very good at 47. However, you will get pros and cons to having low velocity. Obviously, it takes longer to get to the target, but the tracking has a lot more time to kick in and kind of make turns than it does with high velocity. Stability, nobody cares about. Reload speed is 36, which again is low, but good for precision. Handling is 48, par for the course for a precision. Inventory is 45, max size is 1. Stats are never really exciting on rocket launchers, unfortunately. But, you know, for me, it's very, very simple what I do on any of the precisions. I care not as much about velocity because, like I said, the lower velocity, although it is not fun to watch a rocket move kind of slowly towards the target, it does give it time to kind of aggressively track towards the target. It can make its turns a lot sharper than a high velocity one can. So the only thing I really care about is blast radius. And blast radius would be, you know, something like volatile launch, although volatile launch does take a little bit off of velocity, which is unfortunate considering how slow the velocity is. You could also do confined launch, but that takes a lot off of velocity. That takes 9 off of it. You're gonna have a very slow moving rocket at that point. Or you could do something like, I would probably prefer as linear compensator, which is plus 3 to blast radius, plus 4 to velocity. That's pretty nice. Or you could, you know, I mean, I guess you could rely on black powder in the mag slot. Black powder will give you plus 3 to blast radius, and it takes away stability, which it's a rocket launcher, so why do you even have a stability stat? Nobody knows.
I've always wondered what exactly stability is doing for me on a rocket launcher, and I've never been able to figure it out.
I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
So I'm going to be totally counter, and even though this is tracking, I'm going to say that I want as much velocity as possible. Because in general, when I've locked onto a target, the faster that rocket gets to them, the better. And the less time that they have to even think about dodging, better.
Well, and I will say that velocity probably, you for this, you probably don't care at all about blast radius for PvE, right? Like, the only thing you would care about is velocity. Because you're using it for boss DPS, and the blast radius has no benefit to being increased at all. And I guess this is my problem, but I always come at it from a PvP first standpoint, and you know, it is what it is. But
yeah, I mean, PvP for sure, blast radius definitely maxed, but I think there's a great PvE role for this gun in terms of putting damage into a big target. And I always get excited when I see a rocket launcher that can roll with impact casing in the mag slot, which this one can. That's a 10% increase to the impact damage of the rocket. And since you've got tracking built in, very good odds that this rocket will impact with a giant boss. So if you can slap some, maybe a hard launch on there, get real lucky, pick up Impulse Amplifier for some massively increased velocity in that first trait slot, and then Cluster Bombs in the final trait slot. And cluster bombs, actually, with a smaller blast radius, will explode closer together, giving you much better odds of picking up extra damage on a big-headed boss. So
that's also really a lasting impression, though, which is
Too many perks.
Well, again, you know, this is another one of those guns that 12 perks in a slot, basically. Actually, less than 12, this one. I think it only has 9 and 10, but there's a lot of perks in the slot. Fortunately, most of the perks are shit, so you can
forget that. Impulse Amplifier and Lasting Impression on the same gun. How have I not been chasing this? That's got me excited.
Because it's impossible to target, and you basically just have to get lucky and hope. Yeah, but are you telling me you don't want a moving target? Let's see, moving target one for all rocket launcher.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I do.
No, I mean, I would feel the same way. So I'm looking at it right now, and I'm realizing why I'm trying to do the things that I do. It's because right now I use a Tomorrow's Answer in PvP, right? Which has 95 blast radius and only 51 velocity. So basically, anytime I get a precision rocket launcher, and I'm realizing why I'm subconsciously doing this, I am basically doing everything in my power to just make it into a high impact that has intrinsic tracking so that I can use the other stuff on it. Yeah. So that's why I'm going like max blast radius. I don't care about the velocity as much because the velocity is so slow on my Tomorrow's Answer, but my Tomorrow's Answer has tracking, right? So like I'm basically trying to get the same thing, but with two perks instead of just the one. So.
No, that's, I mean, that's totally fair. And you know, you can, as much as I really want to like Lasting Impression in PvP, I just can't.
I find it to be hilarious, but mostly useless. Yeah. I just like tricking people with it, right? Like, I will shoot it at a control point when I know someone is going to be like jumping onto that control point soon, and it's like totally not a really hyper competitive perk. But dear God, is it funny to wait 5 seconds and get a kill? I it gives me a good laugh every time.
When it works, it works. But a lot of times you're just wasting rockets. So certainly, like, volatile launch, black powder, cluster bombs, you know, basically giving you as much radius of damage as possible on the gun for PvP. And then, I guess, I don't know what you want in that first trait slot. Like, it's got a ton of great perks for PvE. It's got field prep, which is fantastic. Auto-loading holster.
Yeah, for PvP, probably rangefinder or impulse amplifier. I mean, there's nothing really great in that. So it's like, yeah, it's almost kind of a waste to use it over Tomorrow's Answer, because you get another trait slot and then there's really nothing good in the trait slot. But impulse amplifier does make a substantial difference to projectile velocity.
Yeah.
So
it gets it there fast.
That one could be a good one. Yeah. But I do like your role of impulse amplifier and lasting impressions. I would also take auto-loading holster. Just because I love auto-loading holster on a gun where I can tuck it away, unload a magazine, a special, switch back to it and fire again, and then do the same thing. You know, if you can get a special and a heavy with auto-loading holster, and you can just jump back and forth between, you basically never reload, which I like, but, you know.
That last column has, I mean, honestly, this rocket launcher has a ton of great perks for PvE, which makes sense since it's coming from Vanguard. You know, but you've got like demolitionist, so you can instantly reload it when you throw your grenade. And you if you're
clown cartridge, which is great on rocket launchers.
Yeah, obviously lasting impression and cluster bombs, both great in PvE as well. Specifically in PvE. Ambitious assassin isn't terrible if you need to drop a rocket on a horde of ads. It can give you a whole bunch of rockets in the mag if you get real lucky. You know, it's got some options. It's got Thresh, which like, I really want to choose to use Thresh at some point, but I just never do. But I always mention it because I think people do like it. There are people out there who really focus on getting that super energy fast. So, yeah, it's got a ton of good perks, and that's about all you can say for it.
Yeah, so I guess the next one that we should talk about would be the third axiom, I believe, would be a good place to start, a pulse rifle.
I feel like we should do that third.
Yeah, it is an adaptive pulse rifle, which means I'm always going to relate it back to Bygones, even though Bygones has long been gone by the wayside and is no longer able to be used, which makes me very sad. It is not kinetic, it is arc. So I guess a better comparison would be the GN7, which is also arc. 390 RPM means the TTK is 0.93 seconds. Very easy to hit TTK. 5 crits, 2 bodies. The body shot time to kill is 1.40 seconds with 10 bodies. Stat-wise, it is pretty solid. Pretty solid. Doesn't have tremendous range for a pulse rifle, but the range is 54, which is quite good for adaptives. In fact, it's one higher than the Bygones at 53. The stability is 60. Also pretty good for an adaptive. Bygones was 60. It's actually, I will say this, it's very, very similar to a Bygones stat-wise. And Bygones was one of the better adaptive pulse rifles, so that's absolutely a good thing.
I would actually, looking at it, I mean, aside from maybe a slightly smaller mag, I think it's pretty much better.
Yeah.
Everywhere it counts. 66 aim assist versus 61 for Bygones. Recoil direction of 74 versus 69. Handling just 1 point better at 52.
But it is better. Yeah, the main drawback to this, unfortunately for me, is that I seem to have no difficulty finding energy weapons to use and every bit of difficulty finding kinetics.
Yeah.
And so I really wish it were in the kinetic slot because then it would see a lot more use in my loadouts. But it's not, so I compare it with Bastion, which is nice, right? But I am constantly on the lookout for kinetic primaries because it is hard to use most fusion rifles when you have an energy primary.
Yeah.
Because as of yet, we do not have, outside of Bastion and Arbalest, I guess, we do not have any kinetic fusion rifles. Constantly breaking my heart, Bungie. Why? Please give them to me.
Well, the GN7 comparison really worked for me because I have used that gun a few times. And I always found it very easy to use. And so I do, like, I like an adaptive pulse rifle. You know, at 0.93 optimal time to kill, they're not the fastest out there, but they're just, it's so easy to hit that. Right? 5 crits, 2 bodies, not that difficult, especially with a decent roll. And when you have, you know, a slower optimal, but it's an optimal that you can actually achieve in the game, and not just, like, you wish that you could achieve it, Feels good, you know. And so this is a gun that I think feels really solid, very reliable, and it's got a buttload of perks.
Yeah, they all do, man. That's the drawback of it. But regardless, I actually have a third Axiom that I've used in PvP. I quite like it. I think it's nice. The sight picture is a little iffy because you can't change it. It's a fixed sight. All you get are barrels. And it's not my favorite, but it's not the worst ever. I've seen much, much worse. I think you used to hate Bygone's sight picture anyway, so.
I did.
I think it's a little bit better than that, but.
That's yeah, why I preferred the GN 7. It had a better. Much better sight picture for me.
Well, the GN is a Suros, isn't it? So it's you've got Suros sight options on it, I think. So you can get SPO 57 and get the pretty sight picture. Yeah, Suros makes some nice sights. Anyways, to the barrel perks, you know, with the adaptives, I never say no to range or stability. I prioritize stability a little bit more, but because of the mag perks where we have flared magwell and ricochet rounds, I'm going to be looking for those. Both give a little bit of stability. I wouldn't say no to hammer forged rifling. I wouldn't say no to small bore polygonal rifling. Obviously is just stability. That's quite nice. I'm probably going to, I might prioritize it a little bit over stuff like extended barrel, just because at 74 recoil direction, kicking it up to 84 is nice but not necessary. So for example, you know, I'll definitely say yes to chambered compensator, which gets me up to 84 and kicks down the handling a little bit, right? But it's not nearly as important as it is when you're in the 60s for recoil direction. 75 is going to be manageably up and down. 85 is going to be pretty much vertical. You know, 95 is like near perfect as far as it goes. So, you know, at 75, like here's the thing. If I were at like 65, I'd slap a counterbalance mod on it if I didn't get a barrel perk. At 75, I'll take chambered compensator and I won't put a counterbalance mod on it. I'll be totally happy at 85. I don't need the counterbalance to take me up to 100.
Yeah. You know, I think at the very least, given that there are so many perks in the barrel slot, there are only a few that I would be probably unhappy picking up. I would be probably pretty unhappy with full bore. Fluted barrel, there are a lot of guns that I like that perk on. This is one where I feel like there are just a lot of other perks I would prefer to have. I guess corkscrew rifling wouldn't be terrible. It gives you a little bit of a lot of nice things. Yeah,
I'd be bummed because I'd much rather get small bore, right? Because like I don't really want the handling on
it. It's just a slightly worse small bore, but ultimately it wouldn't be an auto shard. So very little, like basically full bore, I think is the only perk where I would say, probably not going to keep this.
Right, and then in the mag slot, you know, I'm always looking for ricochet rounds just because +5 range, +8 stability. Flared magwell also exceptional. Light mag, pretty good. Even high caliber rounds, not nearly as good as it once used to be, but the additional flinch is there, if barely noticeable, and the +5 range can't hurt you. So, I mean, good number of perks. Obviously, I stay away from alloy mag. I stay away from extended mag. I don't even really think appended mag is super useful on this. A 36 magazine size, I mean, that's 12 bursts. You'll be quite fine with that much in PvP or PvE.
Yeah, totally agree. In that first trait slot, how do you feel about rangefinder?
You know, I would do it because the zoom's at 1.8 and rangefinder is gonna, you know, give it a little 10% to that. So it's not gonna take it up to an extraordinarily like difficult to use level. Like I wouldn't slap rangefinder on like a scout or something on this gun because it doesn't have sights. And you know, because we've talked about this before when we did Last Perdition way back when. But I'll kick the zoom up on pulse rifles because it gives me so much better recoil control. It gives me so much better range, much better aim assist fall off. I have no issues kicking the zoom up on a pulse rifle. So I would take rangefinder. I'm probably going to prioritize moving target because I love the aim assist. I love the strafe speed difference. But you've got a decent amount of good perks in this, really, is what it comes down to. I mean, It's one of the rare cases where I actually think a majority of the perks in the slot are pretty decent.
So that question was totally a setup because I would not pick Rangefinder.
Do you not like the high zoom on that?
I think it's too much. I think it's too much. It's 1.8. So Bygones was at 1.7. And because of the closed sight picture, that always felt like too much for me. Whereas if it had been like a nice open Suros sight, a sight from a real manufacturer instead of these knockoffs from Gambit, I probably wouldn't have minded it. But with a third axiom being a fixed sight that you can adjust, it's a little bit more closed in, I think, and it's going to always come down to personal preference, but I think that's just a lot of zoom. And 1.8 is already really, for me, pushing it on a closed sight picture. So I'm probably thinking moving target. I wouldn't even be upset about killing wind or quick draw. Although moving target, I think, would be my strong preference.
So my best last prediction, because I just had to look this up, I have two of them that are still in my vault. They're both at 2.1 times zoom. So with SBO 57 and the base zoom that they have, I stepped those things up. So I don't have any issue narrowing that field
view. It's that Suros sight.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, at the same time, I liked Bygones too. I never had an issue with the sight picture on Bygones. I mean, yeah. I have a Bygones in my vault right now. I'm literally looking at it. Let me see how many kills. Over 6,000 kills on that Bygones. So clearly, and that's just PvP. That's not PvE as well. So clearly, it did not bother me having that type of sight picture. Anyways, though. Moving target, great for PvP, but you've also got a couple of other options that are pretty decent. You've got both of the slide perks. You've got slide shot and slide ways. I find those to be not as great. I don't know. I like those a lot on special. I like those on shotguns. I like those on fusions. Not sliding a ton with my pulse rifles.
Yeah.
I'm sure I could be motivated to add that to my arsenal, so to speak, but I wouldn't prioritize those. Subsistence is quite good for PvE. You've got Feeding Frenzy, which is just good across the board.
Yeah.
Killing Wind, as always. I like Killing Wind on a primary. I'm a big fan of that. You got Surplus, which I'm not going to use because I'm a hunter. Moving targets are probably going to be it for me. If it were PvE, I'd probably take subsistence, but I think Feeding Frenzy is a good all around perk for those options.
Yeah. And so Feeding Frenzy does play nicely with multi-kill clip in the final trait column, where, a lot of times we look for damage perks here. You've got multi-kill clip, you've got Rampage, both as prime, very rewarding damage perks. So I think for me, those are probably going to be the two that I'm eyeing. But I do notice Opening Shot, which is a perk that I don't see on pulse rifles. And it makes me curious.
I'm not really a fan of Opening Shot on pulses. I do believe it counts for like the whole first burst, right? Not just the first shot. Maybe I do need to give it more of a chance, because my thing has been like, I want something that affects a large percentage of the shots needed to kill, which technically Opening Shot does for a pulse rifle. However, I have just always kind of felt like it was a wasted perk on a pulse rifle. And I really, really prefer damage boosting on the adaptives, because the adaptives are so close to being able to kill in two bursts and not needing that third burst, which drops their TTK just massively, massively down. I think an adaptive pulse rifle with one single stack of Rampage drops the TTK down to 0.60 seconds, which is insanely fast.
It's pretty savage. Right?
Yeah, and Kill Clip drops it down to 0.53 and 0.60 with three crits and three bodies, right? So, I love, now granted, I guess this one has multi-kill clip, so I should be looking at what that does, but I think it's okay, 0.60 with four crits and two bodies. So still also ridiculously easy to hit. I mean, it's really, really hard to pass that up, because the third axiom, if this were the messenger, That's what I will say. If this were the Messenger with opening shot, I would 100% be all on board with that.
Right.
But this isn't really a competitive dueling gun. Like, you're not taking the third Axiom into trials because the optimal TTK is shit and it basically gets outranged by 120s and deadmans. So you basically are relying on getting your damage perk up. This is a great gun for sixes, not so good for trials.
That's true. And so with sixes in mind, I definitely would prefer Rampage solely because I can pair it with Rampage spec to have it up for 4.5 seconds, which is a very long time to have a damage buff up in sixes. If you can't find another person to kill, then I don't know what they're doing. Because they aren't running at you. And in my experience, most people in sixes run at you.
Yeah, especially an Iron Banner.
Especially an Iron Banner. But that's just, 4.5 seconds of a 10% damage buff, that's cutting your time to kill so dramatically. Very hard to say no to.
Yeah. And then for PvE in the last slot, obviously the damage perks are still great for PvE, yeah. So don't say no. But I would also do either Dragonfly or Thresh. Dragonfly in particular, I absolutely love on a primary weapon for ad clear.
And there are a lot of places that Dragonfly is useful now. We have a lot of opportunities to take on large groups of ads.
And there's a Dragonfly spec. So if there you is really a Dragonfly want to play spec. Into it, you're welcome to do it. All right. Well, that's it for the third Axiom. I say we move on ahead to the Shadow price, which unfortunately is probably the least popular version or least popular auto refractor. Sorry, that's work coming out right there because I work on that equipment. Auto rifle archetype. Ever since Uriel's, they have not allowed them to shine at all.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah, that was a dark time for everyone. But they 0.93 second optimal TTK, 6 crits, 2 bodies. So very, very similar to the third Axiom. The difference is that the range isn't quite the same as the third Axiom, even after the pulse rifle range nerf, which I feel like we talk about that a lot because pulse rifles, it was really just the high range pulse rifles that were reaching out. I mean, wasn't it just it was the Black Armory pulse with Blast Furnace. Mm-hmm. It was really just Blast Furnace that had too much range, and they nerfed all pulse rifle range across the board and really just shut them down. But even with that, they're still a little bit better than what Shatter Price can do. It does have decent range for an auto rifle. It's 67. It's not quite high impact levels, but it's pretty good for a precision. The stability is also pretty good at 50. Reload speed, statistically, it's pretty good across the board. The reload speed's 52, which is above average. I mean, it's high for a precision above average for an auto rifle. The handling is 49, same thing. The aim assist is one place that the precisions really, really suffer. Just terrible aim assist across the board. This one is no exception, only has 43. The recoil direction is pretty good at 79. Magazine size is 33. Also not too bad. So stat-wise, it's definitely there. And what's nice is it has a small perk pool, thank God, right? So
yeah.
We don't have to pick from 12 perks in each of these slots. But recoil direction at 79. I'm not gonna be, just like we talked about with the other one, I'm not gonna be picky or choosy about getting chambered compensator, but I would say yes to it.
Hold up, don't forget this is a precision frame, so ignore the recoil direction.
Oh yeah, it does get intrinsic counterbalance, doesn't it?
The recoil direction is a lie. It's like the cake. Yeah. It's not real.
Is it plus 20? Is that what it does? It's plus 20 to recoil direction, the precision frame?
All I know is that every precision frame gun I've ever fired, regardless of the recoil direction, was straight up and down.
Yeah. All right. So, well, there you go. So you absolutely don't need recoil direction.
I just ignore it.
This shows you how long it has been since I've used a precision AR. I mean, I used Breakneck for a while, right? But even they kind of ended up screwing Breakneck when they, made it step down its damage as it stepped up its rate of fire, which was very unfortunate. But So I mean, I'm gonna take stability pretty much over everything here. I just want to make it as stable a platform as I can for controller. Range, it's because you don't have any way to change the zoom on this, you're not really gonna be kicking that range out very far, even if you max it, and with the stability being what it is, which is just barely above average. I don't think if you max range that you're going to have a great time unless you're on mouse and keyboard and you're really looking for just a little bit of masochism. But so, you know, I'll take polygonal rifling. I'll take small bore if it comes down to it. Would love flared magwell, tactical mag, maybe even steady rounds. If I got small bore, I'd take it.
Yeah. The next column. This is
just, this is just a PvE gun, man. Like, I'm having difficulty caring about any of this stuff because it's just so clearly PvE. I mean, bottomless grief, surplus, killing wind, fourth times the charm, feeding frenzy, overflow. I mean, geez, give me a damage perk, and all I get is swashbuckler in the second trade slot.
So the sad thing here is that fourth times the charm is in this column and not in the final column where it belongs. You know, you've got overflow and you've got bottomless grief in that column. If you could pair those with four times the charm, this gun could put out a lot of shots. Unfortunately, you can't. And so, for PvP, I guess surplus is probably your strongest option.
Yeah, or killing wind. I mean, that's, you know, overflow is not bad. Overflow basically doubles the mag size anytime you pick up special ammo. So you can get the mag up to, you know, 66 basically just by picking up special ammo, which is definitely pretty funny. It's meme worthy in PvP. You know, I've done it, right? But bottomless grief is going to give you, you know, bottomless grief actually isn't going to give you a ton on this. I think it only gives you like 6 rounds additional. So I'm not really sure that that's going to be worth it on this one. Honestly, I think overflow or fourth times a charm might be the better option.
Fair.
Because it's not, it doesn't have quite the same effect that it does on a heavy for PvE. And then in the other trait slots, like, you know, you got Thresh. Thresh is always fine. You got Dragonfly. Dragonfly is always fun. And you got Swashbuckler. And Swashbuckler will give you a damage boost if that's what you're looking for. You don't have any other choice for damage boost. So if you want damage boost, Swashbuckler it is. Otherwise, Thresh or Dragonfly.
You've got one for all, which in PvE actually is good for ad clear. It is a good ad clear damage buff.
Right, but my thing is that one for all, you have to hit 3 separate targets for a 20% damage boost, right?
Yeah.
In which Swashbuckler, when you kill 3 targets, is a 19% damage boost.
Swashbucklers is better, hands down.
So, disagree. And you can stack it to 5, and you can instantly proc with a thing. So it's like, yeah, I don't understand. One for all needs to be either like a higher damage boost or, you know, I don't know, a different type of activation. I mean, I've got it. It has a very generous timer. I think it's like 5 seconds in between each target that you can hit them. It might not be 5 seconds, but it's quite generous because I've activated it in PvP before. But it's just, I feel like once it activates, it's gone very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like all the other damage perks have a much more generous timer than One for All does. I'm just not really a fan of it.
A lot of them you can reset very, very quickly. And One for All, you kind of have to, like, pay attention to reset. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not something that happens naturally. It doesn't reset on a kill or on a reload, which are the two things that you do most in Destiny.
Yeah. It would be nice if it didn't have a timer, where it was like, you hit 3 targets, and then you had, you know, a 20% damage stack until you got a kill or something like that, right? Like, it'd be nice if it did that. I think that'd make it a little bit more useful. At least I would think about it in PvP being useful then, but
That could be better.
Yeah, Shadow Price is a gun that they're playing off of people's nostalgia to make it a sought-after, weapon. Because, unfortunately, it's just not a tremendously good gun in the current state of D2 right now. So
it's not, and the curated role is a little bit hilarious because it comes with arrowhead break, and I'm just like, but it's precision.
Out of all the things you didn't need.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. But why? Anyway.
Oh, well, that means that we can skip it, and we can go to the gun that people I think actually care about, which is the palindrome, which weirdly was a crucible weapon in D1. And then they brought it back and they're calling it a Vanguard gun now, but we all know the truth. It is a 140 RPM hand cannon, which means the optimal TTK, 3 crits, 0.87 seconds, body shot TTK, 5 crits, 1.73 seconds. Really, the 140s, with the exception of Palindrome, have pretty much just fallen entirely behind the 120s. And even Palindrome is a far cry from usage numbers that the 120s are getting. So, you know, I would believe that 120s are going to be nerfed pretty soon here. So that being said, now would probably be a good time to go get a Palindrome, because, you know, as soon as 120s fall off, everybody knows that sweaty D2 players love the hand cannons, and Palindrome is probably going to be right next up to be a popular gun.
I have a feeling that that is very, very true. The thing about Palindrome is it's really, in its current incarnation, it's very much like just a hand cannon, right? It's got a bunch of perks that just make it better at hand cannon things. It doesn't really have anything super special that makes it stand out. It's just very solid across the board. So stat-wise, 55 is the range, which is, the best among the actual adaptive archetype. We're going to ignore Not Forgotten. Stability is 62, which is almost the best. Only Ostringer had better at 63. And you can't use Ostringer anymore, so now it's the best. 48 reload speed, which is pretty average. Maybe even a little below average. 55 handling, which is pretty solid. 79 aim assist, which would be the best, except for all the guns that got shuffled into the adaptive archetype, which have much better aim assist, but otherwise much worse range and stability. 98 recoil directions, it's straight up and down, 10 in the mag.
Yeah, I know everybody was on board for a long time with like range, everything, but they compressed the range so much on hand cannons that now pretty much if I get like plus 10 range anywhere, be it a combination of perks, be it a single perk in one slot, then I'm pretty much golden. I'm no longer interested in max hand range, and instead I'm all on board with stability for hand cannons. I have started to care less and less about maxing out the range and started to care more and more about recentering my shots as quickly as possible, especially on controller. And I am living that stability life. So for me, what I'm going to be going for in this is maybe polygonal rifling, small bore, and ricochet rounds, or potentially flared magwell. Those are going to be like my choices right there. I really want ricochet rounds because that means I can get small bore as well, and I'll bump the range by 11 and bump the stability by 16, which I'm quite happy with. But you know, I would also take ricochet rounds and then like polygonal rifling. That's going to give me plus 5 to range, but plus 18 to stability. So I would take any of those. And then flared magwell is not too bad. You're only going to get plus 5 to stability, but it does increase the reload speed. And with a magazine size of, you know, I think it's 11. I think I have the wrong number in the spreadsheet.
I believe it is 11, actually, now that you say it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'd take flared magwell too, but ricochet rounds is really going to be my thing. So if I get ricochet polygonal, ricochet small bore, I'd be a happy camper.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are the perks. Like I said, this is very much just a straight up gun. There's nothing too complicated about the perk options here. In that first trait slot, while Bottomless Grief is getting a buff, I feel like Killing Wind is probably the way to go. Maybe Quick Draw if that's your thing.
Yeah, I'm not big on the quick draw. I don't do a ton of blinting. If I was, I think quick draw would really be the only option.
Yeah.
Because in order to blint well with a sniper, you really need quick draw on both guns.
Right.
Because obviously you have your stow speed, but then you have your draw speed of the next gun. So if you're trying to blint, then really your only option is quick draw. I overflow is hilarious on a hand cannon and PvP because you can get like a 20 magazine, you know, a 20 round hand cannon. I guess they don't have magazines, but 20 round hand cannon and just never reload, which is really, really funny to me. Even Bottomless Grief is going to kick it up to 14. Personally, you know, I like Outlaw a lot on hand cannons. I think it's very, very good, but Killing Wind is just, I mean, I know it doesn't activate until you've already got a kill, but plus 20 range is quite substantial on a hand cannon. Plus 50 mobility is substantial. Handling is substantial. Like, those are all the things you want on a hand cannon.
Yeah.
And you get all of them, but it takes a kill to activate. So, I mean, I guess the question is, like, but, you know, Outlaw takes a kill to activate.
Right? Yeah.
So, you know, and Overflow kind of takes a kill to activate because you have to pick up someone else's special ammo. So it's like, you know, it might not have a great 1v1 straight up dueling option there. And because that's the case, yeah, I think I'm going to go with Killing Wind.
Yeah, I think it's just such a solid all-arounder. Very hard to say no to. You know, if you need to change weapons, it does that for you. If you need to get to the next target, it does that for you. If you can see the next target and you just need to hit them, it does that for you. It's just like, those are the three things that I'm going to do after I get this kill.
Yep. And then last slot, I'm going Rangefinder. Rangefinder is going to kick me out over that cap, over the range cap, which is going to be pretty nice, especially if I did get something like small bore and ricochet rounds, which will put me, you know, up over 65 range, or you even get hammer forged and ricochet rounds, you'll be up like 69 range. But Rangefinder will help, especially in comparison and in cooperation, I guess, with Killing Wind. Rampage is an option. Rampage, I think one stack only brings you to two crits, one body. It's not like it is on the 120s where it's like immediately a two tap. So it's not quite as strong to me. Still makes the gun easy to use, but I'll take Rangefinder every day, especially considering the other things that you've got are one for all, really only good for PvE. Thresh, only good for PvE. Unrelenting, only good for PvE. High impact reserves, not even really great for either PvE or PvP. Yeah. So,
yeah, I think Rangefinder is a super, super strong choice for PvP. And I'd be pretty happy with Thresh or Rampage in PvE. I think those would both be really solid choices. The 140 still hit hard enough to one-shot most adds outside of higher level content. And they still do a decent amount of chunk damage in higher level content. So, you know, this being a void hand cannon does make it an option. And I think a pretty decent one. And that is a place where you might want Bottomless Grief or Overflow to get that 20-round mag in your higher level in-game content. I think it could come in pretty dang handy.
Well, all right, guys. That is all the Vanguard weapons. I am now tired. It is 12:30, midnight 30 my time. I still have to edit the podcast and try to get some sleep and try to get up in the morning for my last day at my current job, but I got to go to the office and do a bunch of training. So, all right, guys, I think we're going to call it a night. We will be back next week. I guess I got to make the promise that we will do a Beneath Twin Suns episode next week, talking about Clone Wars.
Got to make it happen.
Yeah, and we'll see you then. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Peace.